You're with Sounds Good on WKMS, our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Tracy Ross, joined once again by Kate Lochte, and pleased to welcome on the phone MSU Horticulture faculty member Dr. Pat Williams. Pat, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
You are in the Hudson School of Agriculture's Pullen Greenhouse. How are the plants doing with this weather?
Well, fortunately, we have very good heating systems, and the thermostats and everything are maintained on a yearly basis, and so inside the greenhouse really is never a problem.
How's the arboretum faring in the ice storm?
Well, we've been having some of the arborists come in and take care of the trees all along, and with the recent storm and the ice, we were pretty lucky, and we only lost one tree. We say lucky, but we've had storms in the past few years where we've lost 5, 6, 7 trees at a time. So although one tree isn't wanted to fall down, it's certainly better than what could happen.
Well, we're thinking about pruning in particular today. You have a pruning workshop coming up this Saturday, I believe.
Yes, it's going to be hosted by the Arboretum, and I believe it's about 1 or 1:30. I forgot to check for you, but it will be in the afternoon, and the weather's supposed to be a little bit better for that.
What are you going to cover? Let me give you some context for the question. We had one nice day, and I had a red-tipped photina underneath a cedar tree that's been thriving, and it's grown way up into the cedar tree. So I cut it back pretty severely and came in the next weekday and was boasting about having done this trim job to my photina, and my colleague here said that's probably not a great idea because it's too harsh at this time. I don't ask you to come down one side or the other, but what plants, what bushes can be cut back during the winter months?
Well, you really look at two different categories. For the most part, we always want to see when the plant's going to bloom. So if you had something like a forsythia or an azalea in the yard, if you prune this time of year, you'd be pruning off all the flower buds, and you wouldn't have much in the way of color. As far as the general rule of thumb goes, we try to prune more toward the end of winter, because if you look at it, everything you prune off is a energy storage tissue. People always ask, do I prune my roses in fall or in spring? And if you prune them in fall, you have to realize the plant has been storing energy all through spring and summer and fall for when the leaves drop off and there's no more food production that they'll be able to subsist through the long winter. In essence, it's kind of a guessing game, because some years in Murray, winter comes to an end by mid-February, and other times it's closer to the end of April. We want to conserve as much energy in the plant, and that's the real basis for not pruning too early.
So it's okay then to prune first growth in the spring, because the plant will be happy and just pop right back?
Well, we try to do our pruning a little bit before then, and a couple reasons for that. If we prune when the plant is still dormant, it doesn't what we call bleed sap. And any time we lose sap, which is actually part of the phloem and nourishment, then it means that the plant is already starting to wake up. And at that point, we can have insects and pathogens in the environment that can take advantage of that. If we prune a little bit earlier before bud break, then we don't worry about pathogens and insects attacking the new growth or the cut.
So I assume this will be the basis of your workshop on Saturday, and you will probably be demonstrating where to make the right cuts instead of just whacking?
Well, whacking sometimes is a good term, and even though homeowners would have the best interest in trying to prune some, the tree or the shrub is a living entity. And I always kind of use my analogy, it's kind of like taking a haircut. You can always take a little hair off at a time, but you can't grow it back real fast. And the plants are the same way. A lot of times, if we prune incorrectly, that can have adverse effects later down in the plant's life. when we look at some of the things that our trees have been through just in the last 5-6 years, we've had severe summer droughts, we've had ice storms, we've had late freezes, and although the tree rebounds in that current season, over time that effect is kind of accumulative, and if we prune incorrectly, that causes problems down the road. We always want to try to take a branch off back to a leaf attachment or a node where the leaf was attached without damaging the axillary bud that's there. A lot of times people will use hedge trimmers to do non-hedge type plants, and with that we cause a lot of injury to the leaf and stems, which would be in the inner node, that section of stem in between the nodes, and we cause more damage than we really need to. So with that, selective pruning is one of the things that will be gone over with the workshop.
What else will you be covering?
Part of what it is, we'll talk about the branch collar, and this is probably a little bit more for a larger specimen. And the practice, oh my goodness, when I was in school way too long ago, was to make flush cuts of the branch we wanted to take off on the trunk. And we've learned a lot in those years, and the regenerative tissue is in the branch collar. So if you look at the branch and how it attaches to the trunk, there's usually a little bit of a raised circle all the way around the branch. And ultimately, we want to leave that tissue intact because that will be the healing tissue. When taking off major branches, a lot of times people will start cutting, and even with the best intentions of not damaging the branch collar, and they'll start making a downward cut, and because of the weight of the limb, as you get about halfway through, it will start to tear and tear off some of the trunk bark. We always suggest making at least 3 cuts, doing an undercut a little further out on the heavier branch, and coming back and making a top cut. And that way, that heavier portion of the branch will fall to the ground, and then you can make a nice smooth cut just on the outside of the branch collar. Part of what will also be covered is tool maintenance. We always think all pruners and loppers are made the same, but there's a big difference. I have a pair of pruners, and it's a Felco by Bray brand name, which is a Swiss made. And I've had those pruners since 1988. And all the original parts are still on there, and they're made of very good materials, and so they can be sharpened. And just really showing the homeowner how to sharpen their tools and how to maintain it, because ultimately what we're trying to do is make less of a wound that has to be healed by the plant.
When you're talking, this is sort of going back to the bush category, but is it helpful to apply that black wound spray that is sold here?
That was another one of those carryovers from older times, and that's because when we cut the branch collar, we really didn't get much in the way of healing. Those sprays today are still being sold, but what happens, even in the best conditions, that material will eventually crack. And that can allow moisture to hold underneath, which causes more rotting than if we would have just allowed the wound to dry out. Also, we can get insects underneath that after it cracks. And basically, it's an incubator with warming up during cold days, even for pathogens. We do not recommend the sprays at this point.
Now, Pat, I'd like to reiterate that the workshop is going to be 1 or 1:30-ish at Pullen Greenhouse?
Right. Depending on the weather, we will either hold it in the greenhouse or out in the Education Pavilion in the Arboretum.
Would you give the directions, please?
Depending on where you're coming from, but from campus, so to speak, you would head west on Main Street, so after 16th. The third left is Hickory Drive. We also have the big signs now that post the MSU Arboretum, the big brown signs. So those are both located on Main Street and also 16th Street.
Now let's switch to the the current situation of evergreens, particularly with the heavy weight of the water and ice bending them over. Is there a good way to gauge whether or not an evergreen that is significantly bent over is going to be able to get back up?
Well, at this point, I would use caution. A lot of times we'll go out and the homeowner will say, well, it's bent over, and the first reaction is to get the chainsaw and cut it off. I always look at it this way. If we don't give something time, we won't know if it's going to make amends. And being that the air temperature is still cold and the ice load is still on the canopies, we really probably shouldn't make a decision until sometime April or May of whether we're going to take something out, especially if it's already an established plant in the landscape. Instead of making a hasty decision, it's very hard to go to the store or the nursery and get a plant that will replace something that's been in the ground for 10, 15 years. I would always err on caution and just let the warmer weather come and let's see how much it will straighten up.
Aside from good winching and cabling, how do you correct an evergreen that is in fact pulled up from the roots and is over? Can you winch it back up and stake it if it's at all possible and make it stay with you?
I've been on campuses, especially where I grew up in California, where some of the historic trees, they have gone to great extent to keep them standing. And one of the things you have to assess, we had one of our oak trees right inside the arboretum fall over, and luckily it didn't do any damage for the other gardens and or structures, and facilities had come out and pruned it off of the roadways and stuff. And I was asked what I wanted to do with the rest of the tree now that it's touching the ground. And I said, well, I'd like to wait to see if it's going to leaf out. And if so, how much of the root system is intact. A little bit of the root ball came up above ground, but knowing how big the root system is. When we get a tree to fall over, you really have to look at if the roots were severed or if the weight just wasn't being able to be held by the saturated soils. If it kind of falls over slowly, as in with this oak, sometimes a lot of the roots will stretch. There will still be a lot of damage even as it falls over because of kinking and things like that in the root system. But the root system is extensive, and with that, it has the ability to kind of heal itself. Roots that are exposed to the air, just as in a homeowner's lawn, will eventually callus over and be hardened off to the atmosphere. In order to winch something up, you really have to have a balance to pull it without damaging more. And then once it's up, you really have to look at the overall safety. If it's something like a shrub that even if it fell over wouldn't have any liability issues, then the homeowner could attempt that, but you'll have to have a very good bracing system. We've had a couple instances on campus when they took down, I believe it was the Lowry building, to put the new parking lot in. It created kind of some wind channels in around Oakley and Fine Arts, and some of the arborvitae and the Leyland cypress blew over. And the university made good attempts to winch them back up, and 2 or 3 years later, they had really never recovered, and eventually they came out. I would say if the homeowner really has that question, try to get somebody to come out, either a tree service or nursery personnel or extension or even somebody from the university to take a look at it. And really see if the specimen can be saved.
Pat, I know you're a really busy guy, and I do so appreciate your taking the time to speak with us today about some pretty vital, important education programs you run and the Arboretum, which everybody should see. It's becoming a real prideful spot for the university.
Oh, we're very happy with the progress of the Arboretum. And we have almost become a destination as an exercise place. I always used to kind of pride myself in knowing every car that was in the parking lot. And on even a sunny day that's really cold out, looking out now, and we have people walking in the Arboretum. I mean, it's open to the public 7 days a week from dawn to dusk, and we try to post the educational programs that we do. The planning committee for the Arboretum is trying to have a monthly program out here, and they can always call the greenhouse at 270-767-0467 and leave a message and or email me at ewilliams@murraystate.edu, and we can get them the information. And I will go ahead and email you the time for the workshop on Saturday so you can get it out to your listeners.
Thank you so very much. Stay warm.
Thank you. You too.